The tsunami disaster has raised fears in some countries that children who have been orphaned or whose parents are still missing could be kidnapped and sold for adoption or the sex trade. While most of these reports have so far turned out to be false, the tragedy has heightened attention worldwide about the need to protect child victims of humanitarian crises. NPR's Rachel Jones reports.
International aid groups are understandably skeptical about reports of emails offering children for sale or rumors of kidnapping and abuse. It's too difficult and too soon to confirm anything amidst the chaos. But people who monitor the industry of human slavery in the region say a disaster does create opportunities for well-established child trafficking networks. John Miller heads the U.S. State Department's Office to Monitor and Combat Trafficking in Persons.
Our government estimates that 800,000 men, women, and children are trafficked across international borders into slavery every year. That was before this tsunami happened. And that's in 1 year, and that doesn't count internal slave trafficking.
Miller says the region has long been considered a haven for people looking to sexually exploit children. That's compounded by wrenching poverty and the desperation of families in cultures where women and girls are undervalued.
Let me tell you, from my travels, I've met with children that were turned over by their families to traffickers that ended up in embroidery factories in Bangkok or ended up in brothels in Bombay.
The State Department spends millions of dollars each year on education and training for governments about human trafficking. And a 2-year-old federal law stipulates that an American tourist convicted of sexually abusing a child abroad can face up to 30 years in jail. The good news is that the tsunami has forced governments to do more to protect children. Indonesia has passed a law preventing any child under 16 from leaving the country with an adult who can't prove a blood relationship. Other countries are increasing scrutiny at their borders and airports. But some aid officials say rumors and abuse reports aren't reflected in the realities on the ground. Myrna Avora is an advisor for Plan USA, an aid group with workers in the Hambantota district of Sri Lanka. Avora says the 28 camps there are well policed.
For example, alcohol is not allowed. People have no access to the camp if there is no permit from the police or Navy. Every day, the women's desk interviews children and families there. And most importantly, families are always together.
Unfortunately, too many children have lost their entire immediate families. Joe Metamano is Senior Policy Advisor for Child Protection for World Vision, which is monitoring children in 10 of the 11 countries affected.
We're trying to create some areas that we're calling child-friendly zones, specifically set up for unaccompanied children. They would go there and they would receive special security and supervision while the reunification with their family takes place.
Metamano believes this could further shield those children from bogus adoption schemes and other threats that may occur in the weeks and months ahead. Rachel Jones, NPR News, Washington.